Welcome to Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. I've been here a long time, and I just love this time when we get a chance to spend some time together. Okay, so here's the thing. I have new producers. I announced this last week, I think, Jonathan, and I have Craig Schoeffer and Chris Tubbs joining me, as well as Jonathan Lowe, and you get to hear him every Sunday night, and I'm so excited. They are doing a great job, and I am enjoying the ride. I am absolutely enjoying the ride. So thank you so much for sticking and staying with Steel Talkin'. Of course, I was wondering about games that were played. Jonathan, I was watching Houston against Memphis earlier, and then I understand that the Timberwolves won last night. That's a really big deal.
Yeah, that was a big win for them. Miami is the top of NBA's Eastern Conference right now. And the fact that they won in Miami, swept them for the regular season, their two games that they play in the regular season, it's a big deal. Big comeback because they lost in Orlando. Orlando's not a very good team, so that wasn't a good loss. But they backed it up with a very good win yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I have to tell you, as I started looking through story after story, it's just so much about Ukraine and Russia. And I remember you and I think talked about this last week, if I'm not mistaken. I remember when they said to the to the United States, hey, we don't need your help. We're doing just fine. And then we had to jump in, as well as many other countries as well. And it's been amazing how many countries are giving and doing better. And I know you probably heard about that ammunition guy, that company that makes bullets, and they are giving $1 million to Ukraine for them to buy bullets. Isn't that something? Either they're giving them $1 million or they're giving them $1 million worth of bullets, something like that.
That is the first I've heard of that. I haven't heard of that story. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome when I first read about it, because it's out of Arizona. Scottsdale, Arizona is where the company is, somewhere in that area. So I'm just... I'm just so grateful that people would do that. But there's a part of me that goes, 1 million bullets in Ukraine. How much could they do with that? What do you think?
They could do quite a bit with that.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's the reason that I think we're hearing so much about this is because Russia is involved, and Russia is a major player. The fact that they are at the center of all of this really ramps it up. And I've seen tweets or comments from people talking about how, you know, why are you giving this so much love recognition and not stuff that happened in other parts of the world, like Southeast Asia, like Myanmar, or, you know, back in the day, Darfur and all these other places around the globe that have seen this kind of strife and in some cases genocide. And so the whole thing with this is that Russia is the biggest player out of all of this. And so it is a scary thought to think of what could happen if we go full out. And the fact that people
then you're talking about World War III, as far
as I'm concerned. Basically, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the fact, and I think that is the impetus for all of these countries in the European Union and the United States and this alliance of NATO becoming so strong about this shouldn't say forceful, because it's only forceful to a point right now. But the fact that they have been so together on most of the punishment or the sanctions or whatever you want to call it that have come out, that's really telling.
It's so true. It's so true. And we'll have to keep following it. It's kind of hard for me to keep up with everything that's being said about the two, but man, it's really interesting how it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's like we can't stop it individually unless we're out in the streets or screaming or doing something to try to make a difference. And speaking of that, the teacher strike, I was so proud of the teachers who were, you know, out there striking. You know, I stopped. There were two on a corner, the first ones I saw. And I wanted to ask them, do you have gloves? Do you need coffee? Do you need water? What do you need? And I wish somebody would give me a list of what they need so I could help out in some way. My father was was a part of a union in the steel mill, and it just was remarkable. He was a grievance man, and he helped so many people. So I'm so proud of them for going ahead to strike, because they do need more money, and they do deserve to have less students in a classroom. I don't understand when there are 28 to 30 students in one classroom. I don't get that. That's a lot of students. And how in the world do you get it all done? So anyway, I'll talk about that more with Michael Battle. But we have a great show lined up tonight. Of course, coming up, we're going to talk about what is happening with clean energy coming into homes and businesses, you know, and this is, we've been kind of talking about it for a while here on Steel Talking. And there's a lot more to talk about, and that's coming up at 7:20. So stay tuned. It is now 7:19 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, to sit here with you. Now, we know that President Joe Biden has really been trying his best to get more clean energy into homes and businesses. Now, during his State of the Union address, the president said that he wants to help families save hundreds of dollars each month by supporting their switch to solar or wind energy. Now, Brendan Dillon is a partner with Nokomis Energy, a local company providing clean energy solutions to Minnesotans. And he's here to talk about what the president's goals could mean for Minnesota, because it can sound a little bit confusing to me for sure. Brendan, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Welcome.
Really great to be here with you, Geralyn.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Nokomis Energy.
Yeah, so we're a clean energy solutions provider based in Minneapolis. We were founded in 2017. And what we do is we work with municipal, commercial, and industrial customers to help them identify opportunities to create clean, low-cost energy projects for their communities. And we do that by implementing and building clean energy solutions that meet the goals of our customers. Most of the projects that we're working on in the greater Twin Cities area are either on-site solar systems or community solar projects.
Mm-hmm. As you know, when we're listening to the State of the Union, especially from our president here in the United States, we really want to make sure we listen to everything, because there's something significant about every line, every word that they say. So we hold our breath sometime just to see it. So obviously, when you heard this in the speech, you must have been excited.
Absolutely. No, it's very important for, Americans to see clean energy's place, in our future. With all of the things that are going on right now, it's more important than ever to think about, how we generate and source our energy. And by mentioning in the State of Union, it's another signal that this administration is serious, about impacting a lot of the elements of climate change that we need to get serious about.
Okay, why aren't we serious about it yet? President Obama, when he was in office, this was one of his number one things he wanted to deal with. And of course, our Congress did not all of them did, did they help out? So it's really, to most Americans, even in Minnesota, people are very confused about this clean energy. Give us clarity on that.
Yeah, and so, luckily, a lot of what's happening with this clean energy transition, or this transition from, fuel-based central power plants to distributed clean energy projects, is really happening at the local level. A lot of communities, a lot of states, a lot of cities are already implementing clean energy transition plans to take advantage of both the economic benefits that comes with it, but also the local environmental benefits. And maybe the biggest element of this clean energy transition is really the jobs. Right now, there's about 55,000 people working in Minnesota's clean energy sector, and that's expected to grow very quickly over the next 10 or 20 years as we really ramp up the deployment of clean energy.
So the clean energy sector only deals with solar?
No, there's a wide variety of technologies that are at play here. That's right.
Exactly. So knowing that and knowing how important this is, does it move up to the top of the line and say, hey, this is what we have to start working on right now?
Absolutely. And I think, Minnesota has taken a step forward here in starting to enact a lot of goals for, the percent of our energy that's coming from clean sources to make it at the very forefront of everything that we're doing.
Okay, so we know it's going to create new businesses, it's going to create new opportunities. However, what type of technology will those that come forward to apply for these jobs have to have?
There's a lot of jobs, that are in traditional areas. It's going to give a lot of work to, contractors, those that do civil electrical contracting today, you know, they'll have to, you know, learn some of the new, you know, technologies that they're deploying, but it'll be very similar trades that are, you know, building a lot of the infrastructure that we're building and will be building into the future. And a big part of this also is understanding, you know, the energy system here in Minnesota. And so a lot of folks that have spent a lot of time understanding, you know, what are the, you know, things we can change about our energy system, those people will be very important in terms of guiding us towards where we need to go.
You know, my son lives in California, and my daughter used to live in Massachusetts. And, you know, sometimes in these states, you can see these fields of solar panels, fields of them. We don't see that in the state of Minnesota. At least I haven't seen it before. Are we looking at doing something like that immediately?
You know, the energy mix is very locally determined. You know, the local resources, whether it's the amount of sunlight you get, the amount of wind you get, or the local natural resources, really determines what generation, you know, your local grid will be able to support. Minnesota is a little bit earlier in the clean energy transition than, you know, places on the East or West Coast, mainly because we have lower electricity rates here. And so there's been less of, you know, an economic push to do it. But that's really accelerating quickly with the, you know, decline in cost of both wind and solar. And so I do expect over the next 5, 10, 15 years, we'll see more, you know, large and small scale solar deployments all around Minnesota.
So then how are the households ever supported by this? Because I know that Nokomis Energy helps corporate businesses, industrials, municipalities, schools, and so much more. But what about the individual homes, especially those that seniors are in?
Absolutely. And never, you know, has, you know, kind of the cost of energy been more important than right now. You know, homes are seeing their electricity bills go up very quickly. And a lot of that depends on which utility you're with. And so we're seeing that, you know, some of the utilities that have, you know, adopted clean energy sooner, like Kinexus, are actually being able to hold energy bills steady or actually lower them. And that's where I think the biggest benefit to homeowners will come. As this clean energy transition happens, we'll take better control of our electricity costs. And a lot of homeowners will see that in, you know, steady or lower electricity bills. Others will choose to actually deploy it, you know, on their roof or in their, you know, fields near their farms and take direct benefit from, you know, the clean energy plus the lower cost that they'll get from that.
So are you starting to see more people getting the solar systems and saying, hey, I want clean energy?
Absolutely. You know, Minnesota has really ramped up over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's really driven by the economics. You know, homeowners and businesses are realizing that they can actually save money by deploying clean energy. And there's a variety of ways to do that. You know, here in Minnesota, there's kind of three basic ways you can add solar to your energy mix. One is, as I said, you know, installing it actually at your property, whether that's your business or your home. The other is by participating in a community solar garden. So these are, you know, offsite systems that are built and can actually, you know, give discounts on electricity bills to those in the community who choose to subscribe. And the other is by participating in renewable energy credit purchase programs, either through your utility or through a third party provider, where you're paying a little bit more for electricity, but you're getting, you know, that feeling of sourcing clean energy.
Okay, since we're talking about clean energy, I want to end this with this one question. In homes, you know, we have all of this other stuff set up for our energy, right? What happens to all of that equipment? Does it go into a landfill? How do we get rid of that as we go forward with clean energy?
No, it's a huge opportunity going forward as we transition. You know, the legacy infrastructure, we got to do something smart with that. We got to think very creatively. And we're already seeing entrepreneurs, you know, here in the upper Midwest start to actually, you know, create recycling businesses where they can take, you know, materials from legacy infrastructure projects and reuse that into, you know, new modern projects. And I think that will only accelerate as we see, you know, more and more, you know, clean energy entrepreneurs get involved.
So they're just not talking about it. They're actually working on it.
That's right. That's right. The most important piece.
All right. I trust you on this, man. I trust you on this, Brendan. So I sure appreciate you joining us tonight. You are a partner with Nokomis Energy. And to give us that update, I'm so excited about it. And I do hope that all of the states will eventually get on board for something like this. And I'm thrilled
Absolutely.
That Minnesota is at the front of it. So thank you again for coming on, Brendan.
Appreciate it, Geraldine. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, there you go. If you're interested, you can always call Nokomis Energy or look online on their website and see what they're saying about it as well. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them. They want you to ask. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. In fact, this is Steele talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And the thing is, we have this half hour open tonight, and I'm very excited about that. If you'd like to talk about the teachers, I think we should. I really want to know how you felt about driving, looking up over the, the walkovers of the highway as you're on 94 or 35, you name it, and the throngs of teachers on strike and all the signs that they had out. Or maybe you were over by the Capitol when they all went to the Capitol and many brought their children. And I just wonder how you feel about it. Of course, the phone number to call is 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226. For me, I'm very excited that they are striking and telling everyone what it is that they need. I have a daughter who was a teacher in a private school in Massachusetts, and I tell you the things that I learned about how difficult it can be for a teacher. Of course, my mother was an assistant teacher. My grandmother was a teacher on my mother's side, and I have aunts. Some that have already moved on to heaven and others that are still with us that have retired from this. And I tell you, I don't think we respect it like we used to. I remember growing up, Jonathan, and all I can remember is I called my teacher by her first name. I heard my parents talking about her, and she had written them about me because I talk too much. I'm not kidding you. This was what plagued my family's about Geraldine.
I can't. Pretend that this didn't portend something for your future.
Exactly. I was always in trouble in high school and junior high school and elementary school. I was always in trouble for talking. And I heard my parents call her by her first name. And so in school, I raised my hand. Instead of me saying Miss Jackson, I said her first name. And I was sent home. I had to go to see the principal first, who spanked me very little. And I went home, and my parents were so upset with me. You never call a teacher. You never disrespect a teacher and call them by their first name. Here's what blows my mind. Today, in so many states, it's okay. The teachers want you to call them, many of them want you to call them by their first name, like they're your friend. No, do not call me by my first name. I'm not going to have a student, like even my grandchildren, two of my grandchildren, one 9 years old, one 4 years old, both of them in school. No, you can't say hi, Geraldine. Not going to happen. I'm grandma. If I were a teacher, it would be the same thing.
I am not as in tune or with it as the younger generation. Mm-hmm. It's actually funny because I was in contact with someone that I know that is a teacher over in St. Paul, and I saw her on Monday before everything was settled for the St. Paul the St. Paul school district,
which decided not to strike. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. And while we were in conversation, the decision came down, and so she went back to teaching on Tuesday. I would have to ask her. I know a couple other people that are teachers. I'd have to ask them if they allow something like that in their class, because they're younger than me. So maybe they have a new look on that, a new look on things as to how they would approach how students address them. I still could not call my teachers for the most part. I don't think I really could call any teacher that I had. And again, I ended my school in 20 years ago. I still don't know if I could call any of my teachers by their first name.
Exactly.
Even if they said it was okay for me to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I don't know if I could. I can mm-hmm. call the teachers that I know by the first name because we're the same peer age. And I actually know a guy that I graduated high school with. He's back graduating at our old high school. So I should ask him, what do you let the kids call you? Because I'm intrigued by that.
I agree with that. And again, if you'd like to join into this conversation, you can always call 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226.
Don't call our home number. Call the listener line.
No, call the home number. Call the listener line. 612. Oh, no, I keep saying 612. It's 651, correct?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Still 651. That didn't change.
Okay, good. 651-461-9226. Okay, so here's the deal. As we sit and we look, I mean, I'm driving slowly trying to see if they are on any of the over the, what do you call those over the highway? Those doesn't look
overpasses,
like
overpasses, underpasses.
Overpasses, or, you know, where people get to walk across. And it was just packed. Some of them were just packed, cram packed with so many teachers. And I thought to myself, it is now 7:34 here at WCCO. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. In fact, this is Steele talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And the thing is, we have this half hour open tonight, and I'm very excited about that. If you'd like to talk about the teachers, I think we should. I really want to know how you felt about driving, looking up over the, you know, the walkovers of the highway as you're on 94 or 35, you name it, and the throngs of teachers on strike and all the signs that they had out. Or maybe you were over by the Capitol when they all went to the Capitol and many brought their children. And I just wonder how you feel about it. Of course, the phone number to call is 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226. For me, I'm very excited that they are striking and telling everyone what it is that they need. I have a daughter who was a teacher in a private school in Massachusetts, and I tell you the things that I learned about how difficult it can be for a teacher. Of course, my mother was an assistant teacher. My grandmother was a teacher on my mother's side, and I have aunts. Some that have already moved on to heaven and others that are still with us that have retired from this. And I tell you, I don't think we respect it like we used to. I remember growing up, Jonathan, and all I can remember is I called my teacher by her first name. I heard my parents talking about her, and she had written them about me because I talk too much. I'm not kidding you. This was what plagued my family's about Geraldine.
I can't. Pretend that this didn't portend something for your future.
Exactly. I was always in trouble in high school and junior high school and elementary school. I was always in trouble for talking. And I heard my parents call her by her first name. And so in school, I raised my hand. Instead of me saying Miss Jackson, I said her first name. And I was sent home. I had to go to see the principal first, who spanked me very little. And I went home, and my parents were so upset with me. You never call a teacher. You never disrespect a teacher and call them by their first name. Here's what blows my mind. Today, in so many states, it's okay. The teachers want you to call them, many of them want you to call them by their first name, like they're your friend. No, do not call me by my first name. I'm not going to have a student, like even my grandchildren, two of my grandchildren, one 9 years old, one 4 years old, both of them in school. No, you can't say hi, Geraldine. Not going to happen. I'm grandma. If I were a teacher, it would be the same thing.
I am not as in tune or with it as the younger generation. Mm-hmm. It's actually funny because I was in contact with someone that I know that is a teacher over in St. Paul, and I saw her on Monday before everything was settled for the St. Paul the St. Paul school district,
which decided not to strike. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. And while we were in conversation, the decision came down, and so she went back to teaching on Tuesday. I would have to ask her. I know a couple other people that are teachers. I'd have to ask them if they allow something like that in their class, because they're younger than me. So maybe they have a new look on that, a new look on things as to how they would approach how students address them. I still could not call my teachers for the most part. I don't think I'd really could call any teacher that I had. And again, I ended my school in 20 years ago. I still don't know if I could call any of my teachers by their first name.
Exactly.
Even if they said it was okay for me to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I don't know if I could. I can call the teachers that I know by the first name because we're the same peer age. And I actually know a guy that I graduated high school with. He's back graduating at our old high school. So I should ask him, what do you let the kids call you? Because I'm intrigued by that.
I agree with that. And again, if you'd like to join into this conversation, you can always call 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226.
Don't call our home number. Call the listener line.
No, call the home number. Call the listener line. 612. Oh, no, I keep saying 612. It's 651, correct?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Still 651. That didn't change.
Okay, good. 651-461-9226. Okay, so here's the deal. As we sit and we look, I mean, I'm driving slowly trying to see if they are on any of the what do you call those over the highway? Those doesn't look
overpasses,
like a bridge.
Underpasses.
Overpasses or, you know, where people get to walk across. And it was just packed. Some of them were just packed, cram packed with so many teachers. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you don't hear the horns beeping. Is it that people don't know you're supposed to beep if you're supporting them? Or do we have that many people in Minneapolis that says, I'm not going to beep for them because they shouldn't be striking? I just couldn't believe it. I was the only one beeping everywhere I went.
I don't.
How can that be?
I don't usually honk even if I support a cause. I'm not going to honk every time if I do. I'm just kind of like, okay, I see you. I maybe support you more silently than loudly, but I usually don't do that when I see a group of people and they say honk for this cause or honk if you support. I tend not to do that.
They need to know that we are supporting them. So if any of us, any one of us is supporting these teachers in Minneapolis, supporting their strike so that they can get paid more money, so that they don't have to come out of their pockets to buy supplies, so that they can teach in a smaller class. It's ridiculous to have our schools so packed with students and not enough teachers. And this has been going on for a long time, by the way. I remember when we talked about how many teachers were leaving the industry, how many of them were quitting because they were retiring at first. And then we were told, oh, you know, we're going to have more teachers leaving, mainly because of all the things that go on, particularly in the public schools. This is Minneapolis public schools. And some teachers just don't want to deal with it. But come on, you guys, many of them are not making what they should be making. Some of the people that are working jobs here in this great state that are working for corporations or, you know, there are so many jobs that are making way more than what teachers are making. I would think that people would want to support that. But obviously, when I was out there the other day, the first day of the strike, oh my gosh, nobody else, no one, not one other car or truck was beeping for the teachers. Something's wrong with that.
I don't know. I'm one of those people that I usually give support more on a quiet level. I don't have bumper stickers. I don't have a yard to have yard signs, but I don't have, you know, signs to hang from my deck or anything like that. I don't usually show a lot in that regard. The biggest show of support I might have had was the first car I had. I had two decals in the back rearview mirror, or not the rearview mirror, but the rear windshield.
Oh, the windshield.
Rear windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And one was for the college that I attended, and the other was for the college that I rooted for otherwise. That was basically it. Other than that, I usually don't have a lot of that stuff. And that's just me, and I think a lot of people are that way.
I respect that. That's your opinion, but I would love for you to change your mind on that. I think that anyone who is striking, anyone who is fighting to make it better, make their industry better, like my father did as a grievance man for the steel mill in Gary, Indiana, right? He fought for the union workers. He fought for them to save their jobs. And so I've always been a union girl. I used to look at my dad. He'd come home. Sometimes he had to work two or three jobs because they were off from, you know, they were striking. So as I grew, I kept looking into unions, and I myself have been a part of three unions. So I don't understand why the numbers are so high for the students in the schools. I think that's my biggest challenge. Some people say they get paid enough. I don't know. You sit down and you tell me if you can make, you know, $35,000 a year. Say if it's a single mother with three children. I don't know how they would make it off of that. I went to the grocery store recently, and I had two bags of groceries that cost me $89. Now, I've been at that grocery store many times before, and I got three bags, and I'd see it go way up. Sometimes I'll get two bags and I just put like distilled water, two of those inside of it for my mom and maybe some bread and eggs. And then I walk out of there with, you know, spending only about $43. So it's amazing to me how many times we all have to go find ways to save money. That's fine. It's part of the American experience. But when you have 30 to 32 or 34 children in one class with one teacher, I just don't see it. We didn't have that in elementary school, public school I went to. We always had an assistant in the class if the class was over the numbers, right? I used to see even the older children have someone come and sit. It could be a parent, right? Didn't necessarily have to be someone that was making money, but there were people there to help. So I encourage us. I really, really encourage us to pay attention to what is happening. Let's go to the caller, Phil, who is in Minneapolis. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I totally support the teachers and everything, but I think some of their tactics are getting to be a little dangerous. For instance, I was crossing 24 in Hennepin yesterday after leaving Kowalski's. I drive a cab, which also hauls a lot of school kids. I get a green light, and there's just a long line of cars honking and beeping, waving placards, busting through the red light. No police escort, and pedestrians having to stop in their tracks. Now, if they're going to resort to that, that doesn't win any hearts and minds. Now, the days previous, it was beautiful. People were out there with their kids. It was 5 below 0 and marching. I love how they're on the bridges and stuff. But if they're going to, and we're in Uptown, we're paranoid here. When I see a bunch of cars honking and screeching through a red light, and, oh, they're supporting the teacher strike, I think they just need to up their game a little bit. You know, breaking a law, blowing people off the road. And these were not the parents walking around with their kids that they were the other morning. These were
okay,
people.
Let me ask this, Phil. Forgive me for interrupting. But so what you're saying is whoever was at the front, those that were, you know, breaking the law from what you saw, are you saying that they are the teachers that are doing this or they are those who are supporting the teachers?
It was a bunch of cars. Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of cars, and they took their green light, and there was like a funeral procession, except there was no police escort rather. Mm-hmm. And they're waving placards out the windows, and when it's their time to hit a red light so people can cross, like walk across Hennepin, people almost got clipped in that. And these were not people walking around with their kids on the bridges. So I just wonder, and in Uptown, where we've had the rioting and everything, at first I thought, oh, my God, is this another protest where they're going to shut down the roads or break things up?
Well, it's unfortunate that that was the question you asked, because we knew that this was going to happen or could happen. And when they, you know, told us, oh, yeah, Minneapolis is definitely going to do it, we should have prepared for this. There should have been an escort, a police escort to slowly drive these teachers through the area to let people know we are on strike. Because my challenge, Phil, is that so many people don't care anymore. Those whose children are grown and gone. like you and I probably. A lot of them don't care anymore. It's like, hey, you fix it. My children are out, gone to college, finished with college. We're good. No, we're not, because these are the future. We keep saying it, but no one's listening. Phil, thank you for calling in. I sure appreciate it.
You too.
All right, everyone. Thank you. I am very passionate about this. We got to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And as we've been talking about teachers who are striking in the Minneapolis public schools, it just blows my mind that we have become so separated. We're so different as a state. We're so different as a country. And I just expected to see many more people other than myself. I seem to have been the only one beeping as all these cars were racing under the bridge where these teachers were standing with their, you know, they were holding up, trying to let people know what they are fighting for. And I know we've heard it many times, right? People say, oh, we always hear from teachers. They need more money and they need less students in the class. Okay. Yeah. And we also always talk about taxes, and we always talk about education when it comes to the national level and the politics of it all. So there are things that we're constantly talking about. And we should still constantly talk about what the teachers are doing for our children to make sure that our children are getting the best that they can. The best teachers, the best schools, the best technology, all of that. So as we move forward, as we keep looking at how long this might last, we don't know. We don't know. At least I don't know. Jonathan, do you know?
No idea.
We don't know. Exactly. So the bottom line is that if you do not have a master's degree, you could be making as low as, what was it, $22,000, I think it is, for the Minneapolis public schools. You could also be making as much as $74,000, depending on your education. You know, sometimes you can make more money if you have a master's degree, that sort of thing. So some people would think about that and go, man, that's a lot of money. But these are teachers, many of them teachers that have been coming out of their pockets just to make sure the children have paper, to make sure that they have staplers, scissors, writing utensils, and so much more. So much more. Some of them bring clothes from thrift stores or, you know, something that was really on sale, and they bring these clothes in for children who don't have the clothes. They don't even have the clothes. They come in dirty clothes. And so many teachers will say, hey, I've got these extra clothes. They're about your size. Put these on. Underwear. It's amazing what they do. It's not just teaching the students. They have to talk about their mental health, even though they're not therapists, because there aren't enough therapists to go to all the schools. Come on, you guys. We have to do something about this. We used to be seen as the best here in the great state of Minnesota. When I first moved here 44 years ago, Minnesota was right at the top. So I'm shocked that we've come to this point where we're not even understanding why they need this. If I were a teacher, I would be standing out there with them right now, right now. So please consider all that they do. And if you don't know, start looking it up. Don't just read the articles from our most popular newspapers. No, start reading from everything. The whole country is talking about this. Also, they're talking about Ukraine to Russia. And of course, that silences what's happening in Minneapolis. But we know we can get the information out. Now, St. Paul didn't do it. Minneapolis decided to do it. And I support them in that. And I encourage you to support them in that as well. That's all I'm asking. I don't care if it's hot coffee or a way to say to them, hey, thank you for teaching my children over the years. They've gone on, done much more. Encourage them, because we don't need any more to quit. And I know that there are bad actors when it comes to teachers. I know it. But I'm talking about overall. So find the empathy for the teachers. Find a way to connect with them as much as possible. Even if your children have moved on, went to college, and so much more. All it takes is a card, a cup of coffee to drop off. Just think about them, okay? It's been a pleasure being on with you this hour. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we have two guests, and I think you're going to like them both. We'll be back. It is now 7:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And as we've been talking about teachers who are striking in the Minneapolis public schools, it just blows my mind that we have become so separated. We're so different as a state. We're so different as a country. And I just expected to see many more people other than myself. I seem to have been the only one beeping as all these cars were racing under the bridge where these teachers were standing with their, you know, they were holding up, trying to let people know what they are fighting for. And I know we've heard it many times, right? People say, oh, we always hear from teachers. They need more money and they need less students in the class. Okay. Yeah. And we also always talk about taxes and we always talk about education when it comes to the national level and the politics of it all. So there are things that we're constantly talking about. And we should still constantly talk about what the teachers are doing for our children to make sure that our children are getting the best that they can. The best teachers, the best schools, the best technology, all of that. So as we move forward, as we keep looking at how long this might last, we don't know. We don't know. At least I don't know. Jonathan, do you know?
No idea.
We don't know. Exactly. So the bottom line is that if you do not have a master's degree, you could be making as low as, what was it, $22,000, I think it is, for the Minneapolis public schools. You could also be making as much as $74,000, depending on your education. You know, sometimes you can make more money if you have a master's degree, that sort of thing. So some people would think about that and go, man, that's a lot of money. But these are teachers, many of them teachers that have been coming out of their pockets just to make sure the children have paper, to make sure that they have staplers, scissors, writing utensils, and so much more. So much more. Some of them bring clothes from thrift stores or, you know, something that was really on sale, and they bring these clothes in for children who don't have the clothes. They don't even have the clothes. They come in dirty clothes. And so many teachers will say, hey, I've got these extra clothes. They're about your size. Put these on. Underwear. It's amazing what they do. It's not just teaching the students. They have to talk about their mental health, even though they're not therapists, because there aren't enough therapists to go to all the schools. Come on, you guys. We have to do something about this. We used to be seen as the best here in the great state of Minnesota. When I first moved here 44 years ago, Minnesota was right at the top. So I'm shocked that we've come to this point where we're not even understanding why they need this. If I were a teacher, I would be standing out there with them right now, right now. So please consider what all that they do. And if you don't know, start looking it up. Don't just read the articles from our most popular newspapers. No, start reading from everything. The whole country is talking about this. Also, they're talking about Ukraine to Russia. And of course, that silences what's happening in Minneapolis. But we know we can get the information out. Now, St. Paul didn't do it. Minneapolis decided to do it. And I support them in that. And I encourage you to support them in that as well. That's all I'm asking. I don't care if it's hot coffee or a way to say to them, hey, thank you for teaching my children over the years. They've gone on, done much more. Encourage them, because we don't need any more to quit. And I know that there are bad actors when it comes to teachers. I know it. But I'm talking about overall. So find the empathy for the teachers. Find a way to connect with them as much as possible. Even if your children have moved on, went to college and so much more. All it takes is a card, a cup of coffee to drop off. Just think about them, okay? It's been a pleasure being on with you this hour. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we have two guests, and I think you're going to like them both. We'll be back.